Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first up this morning, as usual, is Monday Morning Focus. And, of course, it's the Ideal Muslimah. The time right now is 10 minutes past 10. And, inshallah, this morning we'll be focusing on the Muslim woman performing her sunnah and her nafil salah and all her prayers, and also performs her salah properly. So the importance of actually performing our salah, you know, properly. That will be followed by Socially Speaking, and this morning I'll be talking to Sister Zarina Wajibdeen. She's a mind move therapist and she's also a baby gym instructress. And we're going to be talking about mind moves and the exams and studying and how mind moves actually helps, you know, our learners out there, inshallah. So that's what we're going to be talking about. A reminder to our listeners that, you know, if you do have any questions, concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. And you can also SMS me on the number 082-84-92-786. I'm sure Sister Zarina would be, you know, would love to, you know, take your questions and, of course, you know, discuss it with you and give you some answers to your questions, inshallah. Okay, so for now, we start off with Monday Morning Focus, and we're focusing today on a Muslim woman prays her sunnah and her nafil prayers, alhamdulillah. Now, many of us, of course, you know, are always in a hurry and we sometimes tend to, you know, just neglect or just leave out the sunnah or some of the sunnah salahs that we need to, you know, prayers that we need to do, or even the nafil for that matter. But it is said that the Muslim woman does not limit herself to the 5 daily obligatory prayers. She should also try to perform sunnah prayers, which the Prophet ﷺ used to perform regularly. And we should also try to pray as many of the nafil prayers as our time and our energy allow us to. So, you know, we should try and make a little extra time to perform some of the sunnah and nafil prayers. Now, these prayers would include the Salatul Duha, Sunnah prayers following the Maghrib, and prayers offered at night. You know, all these extra prayers that we can actually perform, we should try, especially if we have time to perform those salas. Nafil prayers bring a person closer to Allah and also earns him or her the love and the pleasure of Allah, and also makes him or her one of the victorious, obedient and righteous ones. So, you know, the more salah we perform, the more sunnah and nafil salah we perform, obviously brings us nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, it assists us in so many ways that we are not aware of. There is no clearer indication of the great status attained by the believer who draws closer to Allah by performing nafil deeds than the hadith could say. Now, it said that my slave continues to draw near to me with nafil prayers, nafil deeds, so that I will love him. When I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. Were he to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him, and were he to ask me for refuge, I would surely grant it to him. So that is what Allah Ta'ala says. Because of Allah's love for his servants, that person will be loved by the inhabitants of heaven and earth, as is described in a report narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah loves one of his servants, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and he tells him, I love so and so, so love him. So Allah Ta'ala orders Jibreel alayhi salam to love that person too, because he loves that particular person. Then Jibreel alayhi salam will love him and will proclaim to the inhabitants of heaven, Allah loves so and so, so love him. So then Jibreel alayhi salam will tell them, Allah loves so and so, and you must also love that person. So the inhabitants of heaven will love him too, and he will be well accepted by the inhabitants of the earth. So even the people on earth will start loving you. If Allah hates one of his servants, he does the same thing. He calls Jibreel alayhi salam and he tells him, I hate so and so, so hate him. Then Jibreel alayhi salam will hate him and will proclaim to the inhabitants of heaven, Allah hates so and so, so hate him too. Of course, the inhabitants of heaven will then hate that person and will also be detested by the inhabitants of earth. So sometimes when we wonder why, you know, I am not liked by people, maybe this could be the reason. It's something that we need to look at, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ used to pray so much at night that his feet would become swollen. Aisha radiallahu anha asked him one day, she said, why do you do this, O Messenger of Allah, when Allah has forgiven all your past and future sins? And he replied by saying, should I not be a grateful slave? So even though Rasulullah ﷺ knew that Allah loved him and Allah forgave him for all his past and future sins, he didn't stop at that. He still continued making extra ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, just to show his gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet's wife, Zainab, used to perform the nafil prayers and make them very lengthy. And she put up a rope between two columns in the mosque so that when she felt tired and exhausted, she could lean against it and restore her energy. So one day the Messenger of Allah entered the mosque, saw the rope, and he asked, like, you know, what is this? The people told him, it belongs to Zainab. She prays, and when she feels tired, she leans against it. The Prophet ﷺ then said, untie it, let any of you pray as long as you have the energy to do so. And if he feels tired, he can sit down or let him sit down. So obviously you don't need to kill yourself, but if you can, then you should take that extra time to perform your nafil salah or your sunnat salahs, inshallah. Now, a woman of Banu Asad, whose name was Al-Hawla bint Duwait, used to pray all night and she never used to sleep. So one day she called on Aisha radiallahu anha when the Prophet ﷺ was present. And Aisha radiallahu anha obviously told him, this is Al-Hawla bint Duwait, and they say that she never sleeps at night. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, she never sleeps at night? Do only as much as you can, for by Allah, Allah never gets tired, although you do. So Allah doesn't get tired, but we as humans do get tired. So, you know, you shouldn't overdo things. You should do as much as you possibly can do, but never overdo yourself. No, never do things that will cause harm to your body. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged Muslim men and women to do more nafil deeds, but at the same time, he told them to be balanced in their approach to worship and disliked exaggeration therein. He wanted the Muslims to have a balanced personality so that their worship would be enthusiastic but consistent. And that is the most important thing, you know, to be consistent. And he would not be so, not to be burdensome that people would not be able to persist in it. So don't do things that you can't keep up with. Whatever you do it constantly and consistently. He also taught that the most beloved deed in the sight of Allah is that which is done continuously, even if it is a little, as is stated in the hadith in which Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the most beloved deed to Allah, the Exalted, is that which is continuous. So remember, something that you do continuously, you can do little, but you do continuously, even, like they say, even if it is little. If Aisha radiallahu anha started to do something, she would adhere to it. So if you start something, then you must be able to continue doing it consistently. You know, little things that's why it's so important when you start doing things, you know, righteous things. Also be careful. Don't overdo things and do so much, and then you get so tired of doing things and you then completely neglect it after that. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes consistency. So do little, but do it consistently. This attitude of keeping up the habit of doing righteous deeds was not confined to Aisha alone. It was the attitude of all members of the Prophet's household and of those who were nearest and dearest to him. So it was not only Aisha radiallahu anha that did this. His whole household used to do the same thing. Then we see, there's a hadith reported by Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anhu that says, the Messenger of Allah had a mat which he used to make, which he used to use for making a compartment at night in which he would pray, and the people began to pray with him. He used to spread the mat during the daytime. The people crowded around him one night. He then said, "O people, perform only such acts as you are capable of doing, for Allah does not grow weary, but you will get tired. The acts most pleasing to Allah are those which are done continuously, even if they are small." So this is something that we always need to remember. And it was a habit of the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whenever they did any deed, they did it continuously. So this is what we must always remember, that if we start doing any good deed, you know, do a little, but do it continuously or consistently. You know, keep up with that little and slowly increase to more. You know, don't start doing so much that in a few days you get so exhausted and tired and you then, you know, neglect it completely. Okay, then the other one is that we should always perform our prayers properly. The true Muslim woman tries hard to perform her prayers properly. Well, she should try very hard to perform her prayers properly with deep concentration and precision of physical movement. So, you know, when we're performing our salah, we need to try and concentrate on our salah, and every movement that we make in our salah should be done precisely. She should be thinking about the meaning of the ayats or the verses that we recite, that the Muslim woman recites, and the words of praise and glorification that she's uttering. Her soul is flooded with fear of Allah and with gratitude to Him and sincere worship to Him. Now, if the shaitan happens to whisper some idea to her during the prayer to distract her from concentrating properly, to keep him away, she focuses on the words that she's busy reciting from the Quran and the words of praise that she's uttering. So it's so important for us, you know, these simple surahs that we perform or that we read in our surah, to try and know the meaning of it, learn the meaning of it, know it. So when you are performing salah, you actually know what you are saying to Allah. It's a conversation that you are having with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should have it, know what you are saying. So it makes it easier for you to perform your salah, properly, in the best possible way, with concentration, inshallah. And if shaitan happens to want to, distract your mind, then obviously you know what you are saying, so you can easily get back to what you are doing. The Muslim woman does not rush back to her housework and chores when she has finished her prayer. Rather, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, she asks Allah's forgiveness by saying Astaghfirullah three times and repeats this dua. It's important for us, you know, when we finish our salah, not to just get up and rush off again, but to sit for a little while and to make Astaghfirullah at least three times and repeat some of the duas that we are taught. And yes, one of the duas is, "O Allah, you are peace and from you comes peace. Blessed are you, O Lord of majesty and honor." So these are some of the duas that we, the little duas that we make, they are so important to make after salah. And, you know, if you want to know more, obviously you can consult with your alim or alima, and they will be able to tell you which duas are better to recite. Yes, so she reads her du'as, and I think that is what is most important for us to remember. Well, I've stopped there today, but inshallah I will continue in our next program and, you know, tell you more about the importance of performing our salah properly. And of course, remember what we talked about is that we're doing whatever we do, whatever good we intend to do, you know, do a little at a time, but try and keep up. So try and be consistent in whatever we do, inshallah. When we return, we'll be speaking to Sister Zarina Wajuddin, and we're going to be talking about mind moves and, of course, the exams and how mind moves can actually assist our learners out there, inshallah. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's 29 minutes past 10. Assalamu alaikum to our listeners once again. It's socially speaking. Now, we all know that some of the exams have started for some of our children already. Others, it's just a little while away. I think just a week, 2 weeks away before they start the exams. The end of the year is fast approaching. Things are getting a bit harder for everybody. Everybody's stressed out. Parents are stressed out. I know. Even sometimes more than the children. Children are all stressed out getting ready for the exams. Unfortunately, sometimes we find some of the children that find it so difficult to actually study. And, you know, they just don't know how to get down to study. But anyway, what we have with us today, Sister Zarina Wajuddin, she's a mind move therapist, and she's also the baby gym instructor, alhamdulillah. And we're going to be talking to her about mind moves and how it can assist our children out there, and also maybe some of the parents out there that are really going through a difficult and stressful time now, you know, at the end of the year when the exams are coming to an end. And I'm sure there's so many people out there that are actually stressing at this time of the year. There's so much to do before the end of this year. You know, I'm sure. Anyway, Sister Zarina, Jazakallah khair for joining us this afternoon. Rather, this morning. I think I'm a little too busy today, but it's wonderful to have you with us. And yeah, let's talk a little about mind moves.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Zinat. I think you need some mind moves today.
I would think so.
I'm very happy to be here again. And I'm hoping that the listeners will benefit from what I have to say.
Inshallah. So now let's talk about mind moves. So what exactly is mind moves?
Mind moves are all brain exercises, specific brain exercises. In mind moves, our focus is to unlock the ability to learn. Learning shouldn't be difficult. For some, learning is easy, and thank goodness those moms will appreciate that, where their child can just get homework, finish the homework, understand, get good marks in the report, all is well. But for many other moms, there's a big struggle involved, where children can't comprehend the questions. They struggle to do their homework. It takes them forever to do it. And mind moves is just a simple, easy-to-use technique that can be used in school and at home, before exams, when you are stressed out, to basically switch on the brain for learning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, it can be very stressful, especially for parents, and when you cannot help your children, and you don't know what to do, or what to say to them, or, you know, you just don't have any idea. How do I help my child to study? How do I help my child to understand what he's supposed to know, you know? So it does become very difficult at times for parents as well. But who can actually benefit from doing mind moves? Is it only for learners, for children out there?
I am very pleased to let you know, Sister Zina, that mind moves is for everybody. Well, Baby Gym is the sister company of Mind Moves, so Mind Moves is applied with the babies, but just in a different way, and we call it Baby Gym. And that is for brain development. In Mind Moves, I specifically work with children from the age of 6 to 18. And then there's also senior mind moves, where the elderly can also do exercises to activate their balance system so that standing upright and moving around is a little easier. But coming back to our focus today, which is the exams, it's very stressful for the kids, and it's even more so. Recently, I find that the moms are having more stress about the exams than the kids. And what you said earlier on, it's so true. How do we help them? How do we know what is going on? So sometimes we mean well, but the way we interact with our kids is not conducive to the best way that they should be receiving our attention at this stressful time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know I said this earlier, that our learners are busy preparing for the final exam, so especially our matriculants. But they may have started already, obviously, but I mean, there's still so many papers left for them to write. Both, you know, parents are and obviously the children are very stressful. Now, what happens to the body when parents are stressed and, of course, children are stressed?
Okay, I'd like to start off by saying a poem that's very true to my heart. All the listeners, the ones that have come to me that on a Baby Gym level and a Mind Moves level would know what I'm saying because I say it all the time. I think I've said it on the radio also before. And it says, reason is the greatest gift of all. So as mums, as children, if you know the reason as to your behavior or the reason for you blanking out in tests or the reason why you can't recall the information after you've just learnt it for about an hour, there's a reason for that. And once we know the reason, we can understand ourselves better. And once we understand ourselves better, we're able to care for ourselves. In terms of mummies, once you understand how your child processes information, you are in a better position to help them. Because in Mind Moves, we learn that all children are wired differently. Some need quiet spaces to learn and some need interaction. Some need to talk to us all the time about what they are learning and some just need to be left alone.
But like I said, many times we don't understand, and we, you know, as parents, we just send them, go into your room and go and study. But sometimes that is not the best thing to do for them. They can't study in that room. Sometimes they, like you said, need people around them and they can study at the same time. And you find children like that actually, you know. But now, what are some of the reasons children blank out? You know, we hear about this so often. They study so hard. And then when the paper is, when they're about to write the paper, everything is gone. What do you do?
Okay.
Or why does it happen, actually?
If we look at the way we've been wired and the way we've been developed, now development happens according to the way the brain is structured and the way the brain is unfolded. So when we talk about the brain, we talk about three layers. So you have a physical part of the brain, which is the bottom part of the brain. That is where the survival response is. That is where breathing takes place, where our heart rate is calculated. It's an unconscious level. We don't know. Our brain doesn't tell us consciously, you need to breathe now, or you need to close your eyes when you're going to sneeze. It's automatic. So that is the bottom part of the brain. That is where stress is. Then you have an emotional part of the brain, which is the next layer to develop, and then you have the thinking part of the brain. Now, when our body is going to stress, it could be a thought. It could be you can go into stress when the exam papers are being handed out. It could be a sound of your friend's pen next to you that puts you into a stress mode. So any little trigger can cause your body to go into stress mode, and you're not in control of that. You're not in control of how your body chooses to react, because your brain drops right down to the lowest level, which is the survival part of the brain. And that is where we have the fight, fright, or flight response. So you either freeze, or you either run, or you either stand there and fight. In most cases, when you blank out, you are actually freezing. Okay. Now, I'll give you a prime example. This morning, I went into a stress response. I had a call early in the morning at about 6 o'clock. And immediately, I know the listeners would relate to this. When you get a call early in the morning, we don't feel very well. It's not a nice time to get a call. But thankfully, I make sure that this morning, it wasn't any bad news on the other side. But my body reacted in such a strange way. My heart started beating fast. I had butterflies in my tummy. And that is what happens when we experience that stress response. Thankfully, it was just my aunt saying she had a wonderful dream. So it wasn't any bad things, but my body couldn't help reacting in that way. And when the child is sitting at the exam table and you're freezing and you are blanking out, you are experiencing that very stress response. And why I'm so passionate about mind moves is because every mind move is there for a specific reason. So we have a mind move to counteract what happens when your body goes into stress.
Mm-hmm. And this easy little exercise, but I'm sure you're going to explain to us that in a little while. So what kind of mind moves can be done to assist learners, especially now? Okay, say we'll take this one for example. You go into a blank, a complete blank. What do you do?
Okay, there's a mind move called power on. But when the child is having a blank, parents need to educate them about the stress response. We don't have control over it. That heart feels like it wants to jump out of your head. And you don't have control of it. So we need to take care of our bodies because you need your senses to learn, you need your brain to focus, and you need your muscles to work. But when your body gives up in that stress response, you basically have a blank and you become numb. I had a matric girl that said every time she stresses, the left side of her body goes weak. So the mind move that we can do, which would be effective in this case, would be a power on. And I want the listeners just to imagine what I'm saying, trying to do it with us. So you're going to take your two fingers with your right hand, and in line with your left eye, you're going to come down your face, down your left eye, touch your collarbone, and just below your collarbone, there's a sensitive spot there. Sister Zenith, can you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
I want the listeners to show this mind move to their kids, and we stimulate this. So when we feel our heart starting to beat fast, you need to rub this power on, because this power on is telling the brain to not go into stress mode. You're okay. You can manage this. Please give oxygen to your heart. Give oxygen to your mouth, because our mouths become dry when we become stressed out. And please keep that oxygen in our tummies. Do not give me butterflies. And then you do this mind move for at least 2 minutes, but very, very effectively. When we go into stress mode, Sister Zenith, we hold our breaths.
Yeah.
We don't breathe. So very importantly for our learners, we need to teach them to breathe. So during this mind move, breathe in for 8 seconds and breathe out. And later on, I'd just like to give maybe a practical example of how we can do the breathing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are other, problems this child may face before writing the exam? Or even while writing the exam, for that matter?
Okay. Because we've all been wired differently, some of us can sit quietly and focus, and some of us need to move around. Some of us will need to make notes, and some of us will need perhaps stimulation with their ears. They need to hear things in order to concentrate, whether it's the radio or something soothing to listen to. Some children would need their hands to work, so they're very busy doing things. I brought a sponge along just to remind our mums out there, give your child a stress ball. So while they are busy studying, by pumping their hands and working with their hands, you're actually helping the brain to concentrate on a higher level.
Okay. Now, I see you've got quite a few little things here for us. Simple things. Let's see on the table now, and maybe you can just help us out and explain to us what you do with these. There's a lock, there's a little toy car, there's some wire, a few blocks, just 2-3 blocks. What else? There's some, what's that, the little spray bottle?
It's a room freshener.
Oh, yes, a room freshener spray bottle. And then there's an ostrich, a little toy ostrich, and a little body. A little doll.
Okay.
So what do you do with these things?
I brought these fun things because in my workshops, this is how I teach. It's so much easier for the brain to absorb huge amounts of information on a simple level, because the brain always learns new information from something that is already known. So I've got a lock over here, and that represents what mind moves is about. We aim to strive to unlock the ability to learn, irrespective of who the learner is, irrespective of what resources the learner has, irrespective of whether mom and dad is working and there's nobody to support the learner at home. Learning shouldn't be difficult. It should be fun. It should be easy. And every child has the ability to learn if only we know how to unlock it. Okay, so that is the lock.
So that So I think you just look at lock and that should remind you what it's all about.
Yes.
Okay.
And every child with a lock, we say that everyone has two needs. Every child is born with two needs. They want to be somebody, number one, and they have this need to be accepted. Now, taking that into account, that is from a psychological perspective, we ask mommies, is there a child out there that actually chooses to be the one with the lowest mark, or chooses to be the one that's going to blank out in exams, or chooses the one who can't focus and concentrate? There isn't that child. We just need to look at our child. I tell the moms, please tune into your child's signal. Find out who they are. Find out how they process information. And then you work with it on a level of understanding. And you'll find when you get to that point and you know who your child is, there's no nagging. There's no fighting. Life becomes a little bit more easy for both the mom and the child.
Okay, there's just one question that I wanted to ask, and I'm sure there's so many people that would think of the same, similar one. You know, we hear for children being ADHD, so hyperactive, can't sit still long enough to do their studying, especially the little ones. You know, when you try and teach them things, you just cannot get through to the child. What do you do in a case like that, when you do have a child that just cannot sit still for those few seconds just to listen to you?
Okay, that's a very common one, and that's an issue that we deal with in MIMU. So we would find out what is the reason for this child not being able to sit still and focus. And just as therapists, mainly occupational therapists, they focus on devising strategies where the child is allowed in a contained movement to move in order to sit still. Now, doesn't that sound like a contradiction? Move in order to sit still and focus. MIMOS works exactly according to that. So with a child that doesn't want to sit still, a very effective MIMOS would be daily to rub that child's ears. Use your fingers, and we do it with the babies as well. Put your four fingers behind your ears, and with your thumb, you'd actually rub up, middle and down. That is just basically like a power move where we sort of connecting with the child. A child who can't sit still is the child who hasn't found that balance. It's like when we talk about a GPS, and if you don't know where you are, the GPS cannot locate your location or where you need to go. That is exactly what happens to a child who has symptoms of ADHD, the one that can't move. It's like they need to move in order to find their center, in order to find out where do they need to go. So doing movements with a child, playing outside, jumping on a jump ball, those are all effective techniques to work with a child who can't sit still.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we will continue talking about mind moves. And a reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548, or you can SMS us on the number 082-8492-786. You can also WhatsApp me on that same number. Thank you. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking this morning. And we're talking to Sister Zarina Wajuddin, mind move therapist, and she's also a baby gym instructress. Now we've got a question, but we've got a message that's come in for us. It says, it's from an anonymous listener, I would like to bring to your attention the sense of relief I feel, and therefore I decided to text this message to you. Alhamdulillah. I was referred to you by my sister-in-law, that was, I guess, to you, Sister Zarina. She says at first she was very skeptical, but it was a blessing in disguise. As you know, my child had been experiencing funny sensations in her body accompanied with blackouts, etc. This was stressing both myself and my husband, as I was thinking she's suffering from anxiety before the examinations, but bringing her to you has made a vast difference. She's more alert, focused, and it feels like she comes out of a deep sleep. I would definitely recommend to you or anyone whose kids are suffering from pre-examination stress or whatever it may be, may you grow from strength to strength, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you barakah and keep you on, you know, keep on doing good, of course. Jazakallah so much, I really appreciate it. So alhamdulillah, a listener that has really found this wonderful for her child, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so I think there's another one that's come out. It says, Salaam, I'm an educator and a mom of three girls who has completed the Mind Moves course. I have implemented Mind Moves in my school and have done the exercises with my daughter and have seen the positive differences it has made to them. Mind Moves definitely changes lives, and I highly recommend every parent and educator to do the courses. Thank you, Serena, for enriching me with Mind Moves. So this is from, obviously, from an educator. So you do go to schools as well and, you know, do workshops with teachers there as well.
That's a very big part of the passion that I have. I offer workshops on the brain and how learning takes place, how learning can be efficient, how learning can be more powerful, how learning can be more fun. Mm-hmm. And these workshops are open to parents and teachers.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, so you have we were talking about all these different items that you have here. The lock, you said, is to help unlock, you know, the ability that every learner has. Then there's a little toy car here, three blocks. Tell us more about all those, and that spray bottle, and I see a glass of water too. You said water also does something.
Water also does something.
Okay, okay. So tell us quickly.
I brought the little car along because when we think about a car, we think about mechanical parts. And usually I like to explain the whole concept of the brain in the easiest way, okay, because learning for us as adults is also difficult. So when we talk about a car, we talk about mechanical parts, and we talk about the main parts of the car, which is the engine, the tires, the steering wheel, all the main things that the car needs in order to function. And I've got my three little blocks over here because when you talk about a child and learning, there are mechanical parts of the child also that are essential to function, not only in school, but as a little human being. Okay, and the three building blocks or the mechanical parts for a child is the child's senses, the child's brain, and the child's muscles. And if we stimulate the senses and we stimulate the child's muscles, then learning is much easier. But usually we find if there's a hiccup between the child's senses and the brain, or the brain and the muscles, you have behavior that is inappropriate, where you see this child jumping around, or you see the child flopping down on their desk, or you see the child not paying attention or losing focus or blanking out in the exams.
Alhamdulillah. And the wire, what is that little wire? What does that signify?
Okay. The wire signifies the connection between my three little building blocks. So we have good wires, and that's myelinated pathways, and then we have weaker pathways, pathways that have not been stimulated enough. We see weak pathways or weak wiring, for instance, when a baby skipped the crawling phase. There's very big parts of the brain that doesn't connect. Okay.
Right, and then I see you. And the water, what does the water actually do?
Okay. The water is just a reminder to the moms, please pour a jug full of water and put it next to your child and encourage them to drink water. Far too often, most of the kids that I see are only drinking half a glass of water, and that is way too little. So encourage your children, don't force them, but once you know the water is there, they will drink it. And the water just helps the wiring to move much faster, where they can actually get the information in much faster, where they can retain it. Or else it's like that car that is running out of petrol.
Mm-hmm.
So the water is extremely important.
Okay. And then you have the doll. What's that doll? Body parts, rather.
The doll is just to remind us that we first develop physically, then we develop emotionally, and then we develop cognitively. Now, moms and listeners out there, you need your body in order to function. So before your child needs to write the paper, they need that hands, and the hands are extremely important. You need your hands, you need your eyes, you need your ears. You don't just need a good brain. The body is very, very important in terms of learning. And if there's a hiccup on with your hands, if your hands doesn't allow you to write properly, you can know the answers, but your hands are not writing fast enough to complete the answer.
And that obviously does happen quite often, where children know, but obviously, you know, it's the time was not enough for them. They couldn't write everything they needed to write in that exam paper. And, yeah, so Tell us that you have a little story about the ostrich that you would like to share with our listeners. Oh. Please tell us about that.
It's my favorite baby gym story. I usually tell this to the mummies in my first class with them. And it goes around a farmer who bought this farm. And he was obviously new to the concept of ostrich farming, but he did all his research, just like a new mummy expecting a baby for the first time. They buy all the pregnancy books in store. And he did everything that he could, but knowing that the ostrich egg is so hard, and Allah Ta'ala in his divine wisdom knew why that ostrich egg needed to be so hard, he became a little anxious when he heard the babies pecking on the inside. And after a few days, he thought they would hatch, and they didn't, and he became more impatient. I usually laugh, and I say this is sometimes how maybe our gynecologists behave, where mommies are encouraged maybe to bring the
yes,
to bring their birth date sooner. That happened to me. And he became impatient, and he started helping these ostriches. He thought, this egg is so hard, my babies are going to suffocate. And he very gently, with good intentions, took a teaspoon and tapped on the outside of the shell. And he thought he's helping them because the egg is so hard. But when these ostriches finally hatched, they hatched with floppy necks. Instead of being proud, strong-necked little ostriches, they were all running around with floppy necks. And the story behind this, for all the moms out there and the moms with small little babies, is that without a struggle in life, there's no survival. So sometimes we want to do everything for our children, but without that struggle, we are causing them to delay in development.
Alhamdulillah. You know, if only we think like that all the time and we remember these stories, you know, it would be such a, it would be so different for all of us. Now, I see there's another one that's come in. It says, our daughter is in grade 11. Ever since she has been introduced to Mind Moves, it has become part of her journey and discovery to learning. We hope that we could have known or been introduced to Mind Moves much sooner. So, alhamdulillah, you know. And then she says, our daughter maintains that for her, Mind Moves is her power button and she has achieved so much more since then. In life, the art of learning is persistence and determination. It definitely is achievable through Mind Moves. If one persists and is disciplined with doing the simple exercises, she has become more self-confident and has developed new techniques in mastering the art of learning. Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will recommend this, she says, to anyone, as this can benefit you in your day-to-day success. I would take this further and would so much hope that our education system can include this as part of the school curriculum. So, she says, Jazakallah for Mind Moves, for making our daughter's learning more attainable, achievable, and rewardable, and of course enjoyable. Who wouldn't want this for every child? So alhamdulillah, it seems to be something that really works, and if your children do have a problem out there, it's just a telephone call away, I'm sure. You can just call and make an appointment to see you. But just before we end our story, quickly, 1 minute. Any advice for our parents and, of course, your contact details?
Okay, I'm going to be quick. Mums out there, remind your children to stretch their calves because the stress response is embedded in our calf muscles. So let them stretch those little calves. Also, don't be realistic in terms of studying and study break times. The average adult needs a break, a study break, after every 20 minutes.
Okay.
There's loads of information on our website, which I will give now, www.mindmoves.co.za. My contact details is 082-940-5372. My phone is usually off because I am usually busy, but I do accept WhatsApp messages.
Okay, so it's 082-940-5372. And of course, if you want more information, just go on to the website. I'm sure you'll get enough of information there. And of course, call Sister Zarina and she'll most probably or definitely help you out wherever she can. Well, Jazakallah khair. And, you know, I'd like to also take this opportunity to wish all our learners out there, everything of the best. Just study hard and do the best you can, inshallah. Thank you, Sister Zarina.
Jazakallah, and I wish to be back soon. There's so much to talk about.
Inshallah. Well, listeners, that's it then from us. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.